Blog Talk Radio.
Redeemed and healed by God. And so we're going to be looking this morning at Genesis chapter 3 once again, because there is so much in this particular chapter. And hence one can understand why this chapter has been attacked, severely attacked by critics who have wanted to undermine the very serious nature of what happened in Genesis chapter 3. Hence, individuals are told about apples, which are not in the text, and that the first pair or couple had eaten an apple from a particular tree, and that is not in the text. The eating part most certainly is, but the eating of apples is not within in the Hebrew, and in many English versions as well. Also, the idea of a snake hanging from a tree, the cartoonization, as it were, of the text, it is just something that trivializes what this narrative is about. And so that also is not in the text. And also the name Eve does not appear in the text either. So, having said that, I want to move on into the center of this text. So we have spoken about the Genesis 3:1 about the serpent, and the word in Hebrew is nakash, which means the shining one. What is interesting to note is that in Genesis 2:25, where we read, the man and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame, or were not ashamed. Now in Genesis 3:1, we read, now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. In Genesis 2:25, the word shame, and in Genesis 3:1, the word crafty, are practically the same in the Hebrew text. Now, I don't have time to go into this in much detail in a show of this nature, but this is very interesting, because the attack that we are going to take a look at in Genesis chapter 3 is going to center around this, what has historically been called, this innocence. Now, innocence does not denote naivete, but the attack is going to be on what, by the Nakash in Genesis 3:1, the shining one, the attack is going to be on what God has done. The attack is going to center around creating an awareness and an godly awareness of one's estate. Now, so the serpent is going to talk about this new epistemology or theory of knowledge or knowing into this dynamic. And so he is going to suggest through a very subtle attack upon the woman, that God has been holding, or God wants to hold something back from her, and that God is standing in the way of this super awareness that he wants to keep away from them, that is from the first pair, because it would mean that they would be like him. And so God does not want anyone to be like himself, is a suggestion of the Nakash. So therefore, he keeps this awareness away. He wants to keep this awareness away from you. Now, what is missing in this encounter is dependence upon the word of God on the part of the Isha. This is an attack. This is temptation and failure. And so we're going to see that the first home in history will come under this very subtle attack with disastrous consequences. So, verse 2. Well, let me read the end of verse 1 of Genesis 3. Did God really say, you must not eat from any tree in the garden? And so, if you have a background in logic and you have an understanding of fallacies and fallacious reasoning, you will see something very interesting here. This is a soft interrogation. And I have a book by an attorney, a very prominent and famous attorney, who talks about the soft interrogation and the hard interrogation. This is a soft interrogation, and she willingly steps into the trap, believing that she understands, and she really does not, believing that she understands the nature of this question, this shotgun question. And so, no matter how one goes after a shotgun question, there is that commitment a position that the one who has asked the question may seize upon, because he has laid the trap, and the naive reasoner, the naive thinker, believes that he or she has understood what is being asked, but in fact, he or she has not understood the real and serious nature of the question, of the interrogation. And so I would invite a very careful weighing of this particular section, because believing ones must understand that the enemy is very adroit and highly skillful in the art of deception. The art of deception is a skill. Is a highly sought after skill. The art of manipulative thinking, the art of manipulating consciousness is a skill that people pay tons of money to have done. And so please understand what is going on here. Did God really say? And so doubt is implanted about the word of God at the beginning of this interrogation. Doubt as to the veracity of God. Doubt as to the character of God. So much is going on here. And understand that historically the enemy has never had to change what he does, because what he does works so well. 2. Here is the attempted answer, and here is the committed answer of the Isha. The woman said to the serpent, and it is very interesting here that the name serpent or the Nakash means to observe attentively. It also means brass or brazen. And it also means serpent, serpent-like character or nature. And so what we have here is the presence of the diabolic in the Garden of Delight. Gan Eden, the Garden of Delight. What a wonderful name for a home. Garden of Delight. Home of the light. And so the enemy still uses the same same strategies against believing ones. The temptation here was to act independently of God. And he sought, and he did, create illegitimate trust in his words. 2, the woman said to the serpent, to the Nakash, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden." But God did say, "You must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die." So she adds to the word of God. So then Nakash creates doubt about the word of regarding the word of God. She adds to the word of God the last part. "And you must not touch it, or you will die." Here's the command that God gave to the Adam in Genesis 2:15. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to, literally, to guard it. To guard it. And so here, God tells the Adam, what he needs to know, what his duty is. Verse 16, and the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die. The woman said that God said, you must not touch it, or you will die. So, the Nakash creates doubt about the word of God, and here the Isha adds to the word of God. Verse 6, when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasant to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom. Note this carefully. She took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Now note what is going on here. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food, well, the garden was full of trees that was good for food. The word here for good is tov. And tov means full of pleasure in Hebrew. Full of pleasure. Evil or ra means full of pain. And so she took some of the fruit and she saw that the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye. If you would read the Samson cycle of stories, and understand how skillfully the writer talks about how this particular individual, that is Samson, all of his life he was led by what he saw. Reah is the Hebrew word in the Samson cycle of stories. He was led astray by what he saw. His heart was led astray by what he saw. There was no attempt to understand or consequences of his actions. His eyes led him astray, led him into trouble. His eyes led him into ra, that is, a life that was full of pain. And when he was captured by the Philistines, they put out his eyes. His eyes were gouged out. And what a symbolic gesture that was. Very powerful. And so we have here that the tree was pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom. She took some and ate it, and she gave some to her husband who was, notice, who was with her, and he ate it. Those last words in Genesis 3:6 is the turning point of this narrative. And he ate it. There is notice that there was no objection on his part about her action. We read nothing about the Adam saying anything about the encounter with the Nakash. There is no objection from the Adam about his wife's action at all. The the command in Genesis 2:16 was given directly to him. Then we read these faithful words, in Genesis 3:7. Then the eyes of both of them were opened. Now things are different. And this is a very frightening verse. Then the eyes of both of them were open. And they realized they were naked. Now we're back to Genesis 2:25. The man and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. Now notice, then the eyes of both of them were open, and they realized they were naked. Nakedness that the man and his wife shared was symbolic of transparency, symbolic of openness, symbolic of their completeness, their oneness. And so this new epistemology, this new awareness, has taken that away. Now, this is a very tragic part of the narrative. They realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. And here we have human incompleteness. So the aprons that they have sewn together to make coverings for themselves, now we have hiddenness. We have a lack of transparency. God was at the center of this home. God made this home. God structured the home. Now we see immediately the consequence, one of the consequences of disobedience, of a failure to hear the word of God. The Adam was told in Genesis 2:16 and 17, the word of God, what he was not to do. And so he had Deuteronomy 6:4, he had to Shema, he had to hear the word with a view to obeying the word. And here we have a failure in hearing the word of God. And so we have a picture here of human incompleteness and the birth of conscience, the accusing witness within, the accusing witness of human behavior, conscience. And so, yes, there has indeed been a change, a great change. Verse 8, then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid themselves from the Lord God among the trees in the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, to the Adam, "Where are you?" He answered, interesting, is it not? He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked." And notice, again, I was naked. so I hid. And so God takes up the answer given by the Adam, and God says, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from? And so fear enters the picture. Conscience has come in. And so now God asks a direct question. And notice the answer he gets. The man said, the woman you put here with me, she gave me some of the fruit from the tree, and I ate it. So, the man answers with this response, making or blaming God. So, God is to blame for this catastrophe. God is to blame for this fiasco. Then the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. She was right. She was right. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 11 that she was completely and thoroughly deceived. So she was right. So the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you above all the livestock and all the wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And Revelation 12, we have, excuse me, we have a reference to the old serpent. The old serpent. The old Aphis. The ancient serpent. Referring to the catastrophe in the garden. Verse 15, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. And here, this is the proto-evangelicum. That is the first reference, the first mention of the gospel. Isaiah would write, behold, a woman will encompass a man, and she will bring forth an offspring without the help of the seed of the man or the male. This will be the work of God. This will be through the power of the Spirit. And notice the results. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. Right in Romans 16:20. And if you have a moment, please read Romans 16, verse 20, about this very reality. God will go on. God says to the woman that she will, God writes, God says, I will greatly increase your pains in childbirth. With pain, you will give birth to children. Your desire is your husband, and he will rule over you. And to the Adam, he said, because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground. I will continue the consequences of the fall in Genesis chapter 3 in my next show. Good morning. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. Have a wonderful day. God bless you.